A house is made of wood and stone, but only love can make a home. Welcome to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, helping you make your home into one you'll love even more. Here are your hosts, Dan Hansen and Betsy Thompson.
Well, Betsy, it's Saturday.
Yes, it is.
And rather than wish everybody a happy Saturday, I'm going to decree that this and all Saturdays henceforth will be happy Saturdays.
Isn't that cool? You think you're a king now?
No, I don't think I'm a king. But you decree something and see how fun it is. Everybody at home, decree something. Just random things. Decree that the dog won't potty in the house anymore.
And
just
look at the dog. That problem, thank goodness.
And decree it in front of him or her. And just feel the power.
I'm going to go home and practice that.
Anyway, I'm decreeing that Saturdays will be good from now on. Maybe I should have decreed that the show will be good. The show is going to be who knows what.
This show is going to be good? Yes. It is going to be.
Decree it.
I decree that this show is going to be fantastic.
See? Feel the power. Tell us why it's going to be fantastic.
Well, it's going to be fantastic because we're going to talk about... Sure, that must be it. No, because we're going to talk about something...
That I did?
Yes, actually. It is something that you did. We did it together. Everyone watches those shows. I watch them all the time. Those shows where they take a really horrible piece of furniture and they make it into something really amazing that everybody will pay big money for.
Right.
And I always wondered, yeah, can I really do that? So we actually tried it not too terribly long ago.
And we nailed it because of the skill set that I brought to the project, right?
We did. We nailed it. But we did have some bumps along the way.
We had to crawl to the finish line.
Yes.
Yeah, we learned a lot of things along the way.
Did.
There were some mistakes that we made, and they're very common. And that's why we want to talk about it, because we want you all out there in radio world to get out there and do some of these things. And we want you to avoid the mistakes that we made.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about them, we'll laugh about them, and we'll hopefully encourage you to get out there and try something. We're also going to be in the studio with Ian Warnock from the Frederick Meyer Gardens and Sculpture Park. I have no idea. Like, I just slipped into some sort of accent. Actually, I do.
Yeah.
Ian has an accent, and I can't get it out of my head. Anyway, he's going to be talking about gardening for children.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a ton of practical tips. He's got an amazing accent.
Yes.
And he can tell a story that makes you definitely want to tune in.
Absolutely. But before we get to all of that, it has been an absolutely fantastic week outside.
Fantastic.
Wonderful temperatures, sunshine, a little bit of rain, which we so desperately needed.
Right. I loved the rain because I spent last week Saturday after the show patching my entire yard, 125 spots that my dog wrecked by going to the potty.
I am sad that you counted all of them.
Well, there were so many. We patched them. Everything is hopefully on the mend. We've got the sprinklers going. Hopefully the grass starts growing in soon.
You're hoping. Well, I think you're out there with a whole lot of people.
Oh, you know? I could hear everybody outside working. Lawnmowers going.
Right. We've been trapped inside all winter long, so everyone has been itching to get outside. And, you know, we're crossing projects off that to-do list that we are so far behind on right now. And the tendency is for people to just want to get out there and start painting.
Right. But is it the right time? Now, a lot of people just jump right in. They don't even ask. It's May.
Yeah, we had it's May.
Right. We had 70 degrees. It's perfect time for painting outside. Well, a lot of people just jump in. But then there are other people who take it a little more cautiously. And they're rewarded for it.
Yes, they are.
We got a listener, Susan Stick, who went to our Facebook page and asked us a question. And because we're going to answer it on the air, she's going to get $50. So right off the bat, she's going to get great information eventually when we get to it.
Yes.
And she's going to get $50. So if you would like $50 for your next project, just go to Repco Light's Facebook page, ask us a question. If we answer it on the air, you can get that. But now let's get to Susan's question and the answer.
All right. So Susan's question was this. How warm do temperatures have to be to paint outside? And we really like this question because it is a legitimate concern. You know, if you paint outside when it's too cold, you can have all kinds of problems. That film can actually crack. You can have trouble when you're touching up the paint later. You can have color uniformity issues as you're out there painting. You can also get water spots, dew spots, things like that. And you can actually have blistering and bubbling and peeling, which is an absolute disaster.
Right. It's like a whole buffet of terrible paint problems.
Yes, and all of it can be yours. Take your pick.
Just paint in the wrong weather.
Yep.
But there are a few simple rules. Guidelines, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
More like guidelines.
More like
guidelines. Isn't that from the Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yes.
Guidelines. I have no idea what I was going to say after that. There are paint guidelines. Let's do the rest in pirate talk.
You can do that.
Yeah, you can get good results by following these. And the first thing is if you're questioning whether this is the right time of year or not, the first thing you need to do is just ask the question. So, Susan, you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
But what we want to stress is you asked the question and we're answering it right now based on the weather that's happening right now.
Right.
In a couple of weeks or in a couple of days, who knows exactly what's going on. So it's always good to ask the question right before you start. Stop in at any Repco Light or Port City Paint Store. Give us a call. Just tell us what you're doing. We will gladly help you figure out if it's the right time for the product that you're using, for the project that you're tackling. That's what we're here for. Ask us.
Right. Now, Susan, as to the right temperatures to be painting, it is important to understand that there's way more to consider than just the high temperature of the day and hitting that temperature it says on the can. You have to consider also the overnight low temperatures as well as the temperature of that surface you're going to be painting.
Right. Many exterior paints are rated for cold weather. Mm-hmm. For example, Repco Light's Endura exterior paint can be used in temperatures as low as 36 degrees.
Right.
Benjamin Moore's Regal and Aura can go as low as 40 degrees. But what you need to understand is that doesn't mean that as long as you hit 40 degrees, you're cool.
Right.
No, that the temperature can't go below that. And that includes the overnight temperature.
Right.
So it could be 70 degrees in the day, but if it drops to 32 or below that at night, you would still have problems. We need those temperatures to hold going no lower than 36 or 40 over the course of at least several days, if not a week.
Right. And there's also a common paint mistake that happens when people do paint this time of year outdoors, and it's the drastic temperature shift. If you've got 80 degrees during the day, which we had last week, and then it drops down to, say, 35 degrees, which on the can says that it's okay, you have so much dew that can cause a problem because of that drastic temperature difference.
Right. So pay attention to all of those things when you're considering what the right temperatures are or what the right painting conditions are. You're always looking for the nighttime lows. You're also looking for those drastic temperature changes. And there's one more thing to consider when you're painting this time of year, and that's the painting window.
Right, because this time of year there actually is a good time to paint, or a best time to paint, if you will, and it's going to extend as we get later into spring and into early summer.
Right. It'll get later in the evening, but for now, it's about 10 o'clock in the morning till 3 in the afternoon.
Right.
If you start at that time, the dew has had time to dry off, the surface temperature and the air temperature has warmed up enough, and if you quit by 3, the paint has enough time to form a film that will protect it from dew and all of that that will eventually form later on in the evening. So yes, we're bordering on great exterior painting weather, but I'm still going to fall back on the very first point. Ask. We're in the store waiting to help you. Now, over the break, do whatever you've got to do, but make sure you're sitting at the radio ready to go when we come back, because we're in the studio with a special guest who can make even the phone book sound interesting. You don't want to miss that, right?
No.
I didn't think so. Stay tuned.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, welcome back, everybody. I am excited to be back for any number of reasons, one of which, and most prominently, is our next guest.
Yeah, you've been talking about this for weeks
I've been blathering on and on.
Yes, if people don't already know who we have in the studio, it'll be a miracle.
To me. Yep.
Clearly. We are joined in the studio by Ian Warnock. He's the lead horticulturist at the Frederick Meyer Gardens and Sculpture Park, and he also designs and maintains the children's gardens. And that's why we have him here, because that's what we want to focus on today. Ian? Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Now, at the Grand Rapids Home and Garden Show, we were kind of kitty corner from that garden stage, and we heard your presentation in the garden with Mr. McGregor, Gardening for Children. And as soon as we heard it, we were stunned, because most of us think about container gardening and gardening so that, you know, we don't have the pests, the deer, rabbits, things like that eating our stuff.
I just think about gardening to keep things alive. I mean, that's my focus.
Yes, you do not have a green thumb.
No, I don't.
A black thumb.
Yes.
Yes, that is exactly what he's got. So we were very intrigued by this concept, gardening for our kids, with our kids. Can you explain that a little bit and how we involve them in our gardening?
Yeah, well, I started gardening when I was a wee boy as well in Scotland. So I was about 10, 11 years old when I started, you know. And I started with a handful of dried peas and a bucket of soil. And so I just kept on going. My garden got bigger and bigger at home and took over the neighbors' yards and things like that. But so I've always wanted to get kids involved in gardening. When my son was a wee boy, we lived in Maryland, and I would try and get him involved with the garden as well, whether it was like planting in pots or weeding. And, you know, the first thing I had him do was I'd give him a penny for every dandelion head that he would pull off for me.
A penny for a dandelion
head? A penny, one
cent. I need to find some neighborhood children.
He did, you know.
My kids would bargain with me. I tried to have them pick up walnuts, and they wanted a certain price by the pound.
Yeah, wow.
They bargained.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, I started getting more dandelions, and so it was turning into a dollar. And, you know. But, you know, he was cool with that until maybe like a butterfly flew past or he saw a worm in the ground, he'd watch that. As he got a bit older, then he maybe dig some holes for me, help me plant. But over the years, I've always tried to get children involved in the garden, right? Whether it's helping me to plant or to water. You know, I always find that if a kid comes up and stands there, you know, they're interested in what I'm doing, or they might even ask me a question, and I'll say, well, do you want to help me plant? Yo, can I? Right? And I said, well, ask your mom, your grandma, whoever is with them. And that happened on Sunday. I was at work, and this wee girl came over and was looking in the pot. I said, do you want to help me? And yeah, okay. So she was getting her hands dirty and a whole bit. So I love doing that type of thing. And, like, I'll give a kid a hose.
Oh.
I mean, they're not going to drown the place, you know, and after a while, it's like, well, that's enough. But just to get them involved, it's an important thing, I find, you know.
Right.
A few years ago, I had three wee boys come up to me, and I had a lawnmower, but it was a push lawnmower.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And they'd never seen one before. Well, what's that? I says, well, I'm mowing the lawn. And the oldest boy says, can I get a shot?
It sounds like Tom Sawyer stuff.
Well, that's what I call it. It's a Tom Sawyer syndrome. You know? I've had so many kids help me doing that, right? And so I said, well, ask your grandma. And she goes, oh, yeah. So he pushed. So his middle brother, he wanted a shot. So, okay, right?
Right.
So I got the whole lawn area done by the three kids. It was great.
Oh,
you know?
That's perfect.
So sometimes I'll do that. Oh, yeah, this is a great thing to do. You'd really love to plant this. You know? And, yeah, I'll get some of the kids to help. It's good fun.
Right.
You know? But, you know, whenever you want to get children helping you in the garden, I find probably the best thing is starting with a vegetable garden.
Okay.
You know? And if you start with big seeds, so maybe with cucumber seeds, beans and peas, and they germinate quite fast, and they grow, and the kids can watch them. Every day the things grow a wee bit
I would
more,
assume that's
more.
Important for the kids to see results.
Yeah. There's results from their actions.
And I guess when I say kids, I'm going to apply all of this to me. So I'm going to start with big seeds that move fast.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. All right. And so they get the results. It's like, see what you did last week. Now it's growing up.
Right.
Let's watch it for a few weeks and we'll have more beans or more peas or, you know, by the summertime we'll have corn that will be bigger than dad.
Mm-hmm.
And
excellent.
Then there's a benefit from it as well. They get to eat the tomato, the lettuce, the cucumbers, whatever they're growing, the beans. So it's always good to get them started that way. The other thing is brightly coloured flowers. You know? And I think one of the best ones to start with is sunflower. Again, it's a big seed.
Mm-hmm.
So for small hands, it's easy to move and pick up and put in a hole in the ground. And they're fast growing. You get results. And a cool thing to do is to get a measuring stick and bang that in the ground. And then you can measure the children's height, you know, to correspond with the height, you know, of the sunflower as it grows through the summer. Marigolds are a good one. They come up, they smell, they might not smell that great, you know, but they've got an aroma.
Mm-hmm.
My children have an aroma too.
Yeah, there you go.
So, that's perfect.
Yeah.
That would work too.
About that.
Yeah.
We're in the studio with Ian Warnock from Frederick Meyer Gardens. And we're talking about gardening for and with our kids. Now, I want to go back real quickly to the vegetable garden thing.
Yes.
What if people don't have a spot where they can actually plant one? Is that something that they could maybe do in pots that, you know, are bigger so kids can put a lot of stuff in there.
Ian said his garden spread into his neighbor's yard, right?
Yeah.
That's the other problem.
Yeah. Well, I started with, like I said, a handful of dried peas, you know, soaked them, put them in some soil. My dad was a painter. I got a big plastic bucket from him. And within about 10 days, the peas came up. I started watching them and dad, can I get another bucket? You know, I went to the garden centre, bought some seeds of different things. And that's how my garden was. I had, I don't know, a dozen buckets for a while. And because the rest of the gardens were filled with roses and other annuals and plants.
Right.
And, you know, as time went on, I took over the neighbour's gardens, like I said. And but if you've got a patio or a veranda or something like that, plastic bucket, don't forget to poke holes in the bottom for drainage. All right. Otherwise, you just get, you know, dirt soup.
Right.
And then Rubbermaid boxes or some kind of tubs, you know, plastic pots. Anything really that holds soil is a great container. So for annuals, perennials, you know, vegetables, whatever.
So this is something anybody can do, no matter, you know, what they've got. I know my yard, I have places, but it's not prepared. But we could start with just something small like this.
Yeah.
How old were you when you started? And what made you do that?
Well,
my kids are too busy playing video games.
Yeah, I was, well, it was a dark and stormy night. It was a wet day in Scotland, as it quite normally is. And I'd finished reading my books and playing with whatever toys I had. I was at my granny's house. And she goes, oh, for heaven's sakes, you know, and she threw down a bunch of magazines, you know, read this, you know. And there was a letter to Heloise type of thing. You know? And it said, hey, you know, I don't have a garden at home, but I got a handful of dried peas out of the pantry and I got a bucket and I put some soil in it and they grew. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool. and that's how it all started, you know. And I still do that, you know, for the home show. I had a bucket of peas growing, you know, and they're still producing peas right now. They've been in the greenhouse for the past 6 weeks or so.
Wow.
So it's an easy thing to do, right? And if you've got one of these buckets or pots or whatever, if the sun moves, you just drag it along and keep it in the sun. You know, you could have all day sun, possibly.
That's a good point.
One of the things I'm wondering about is I am no good at this at all. Mm-hmm. So how in the world can I get my kids going on this?
Start easily with big peas, bean seeds, and you know, follow the directions. Read up on it as well. Don't go blindly into this and think you're going to be a big success the first time, you know. And especially if you're getting children involved, you don't want it to be a failure either.
Right.
You know, because then that'll turn them right off. So, you know, do a wee bit of homework, you know, first of all, you know, find out what's going to be good. You know, if you are working with containers, work out where the sun's going to be through the day, you know. If you have a garden, a raised bed, anything like that, always make sure where the sun's going to be. If you've got a shady garden, there's not going to be so many vegetables that will do that great. Most of them like about 6 to 8 hours of sun every day, if you can manage it.
So if we do have a shady area, what do you suggest then?
You could probably try
plastic flowers.
Yeah, you know.
We could just push them up a little higher every day.
You could try that, you know. Plastic vegetables, yeah, they're not that tasty.
My kids aren't that bright.
No.
I mean, we could probably pull that off. Don't eat that one.
Poor children.
Yeah. No, I would maybe try some lettuce, spinach, radishes, you know, try them. Mm-hmm. They're fast growing as well. They do well in cool temperatures like we have here in Michigan. And you can get an early start.
Well, Ian, we're running short on time. I'm wondering if you could hang with us over the break and we could pick this up on the other side.
Sure thing.
Excellent. We'll be back in the studio with Ian Warnock from Frederick Meyer Gardens and Sculpture Park after the break. Stay tuned.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
All right, everybody out there who is not listening to the radio with rapt attention, it's time to come back in.
Dan is stalling so that you have time to get to the radio.
Right, if I could dim the lights in your house or do
like
what they do in
a
theater, I would be doing that. Of course, that would be really creepy and kind of overreaching my authority.
Yes.
Anyway, we want you to hear the rest of this interview. We've been talking with Ian Warnock from the Frederick Meyer Gardens and Sculpture Park about gardening with and for our children.
Yes.
And now, Ian, I guess I want to ask why. You know, why should we garden with our kids?
Well, you want to get them involved. Get them involved as early as possible. Like I said, you know, if you can keep that interest, they'll carry that through to adulthood and start with their kids, and it'll keep on going.
See, I love the idea that the kids are getting outside. You know, my kids do pretty good at that.
Yeah.
But there's still a lot of time spent just sitting there with whatever it is. And one of the things that was very interesting to me as you were talking is one of my daughters and my son. My son ended up getting a dog, and my daughter wanted a rabbit. Mm-hmm. And we told her, research.
Yep.
You know, the internet is at your fingertips. You use it for everything else. Mm-hmm. Now actually use it for good.
Yeah.
And they did. They learned so much. And I would assume this is exactly like that. This is something that they could research. They're learning.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're putting what they've learned into practice.
That's it.
And then if we work with the right things, they're going to see results. Mm-hmm. And then eventually they're mowing my lawn. That's how I see this.
There you go.
Out.
That's it.
All right, Ian. Now, it seems like there's always something going on in the gardens. What can people do out there this summer?
Well, this year I've got a theme for the children's garden. And it's called Topiary Tales. And we have four books that we will be reading to the children on certain days. And each book is represented with plants. So we talk about maybe the 10 little ladybugs, you know, and then there were 9 and then there were 8.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the ladybugs actually are being made out of bowling balls.
Right? Oh, that is so cool.
But they've got all these other characters. There's a turtle, there's a bird, there's a caterpillar, there's a bee.
Mm-hmm. And where are the ladybugs going? Is this a murder mystery?
Oh, no,
it sounds like 10 little Indians, right? Is that the Agatha Christie story?
It sounds like it, but they all end up at a party.
Oh, good.
Oh, that's way better.
So the bee flies down and takes one away to the party, and the caterpillar takes one across to the party.
Somebody would take me to a party.
Yeah. But all these animals are made out of plants. They're fashioned into, like I said, a bee or a caterpillar. We have these wire frames that we make, and they're filled with moss and soil and ivy and some other plants. And we grow them on through the winter and the spring. And then when you know, we open up our summer exhibit, you're going to have 10 little ladybugs or the turtle in the moon or the runaway bunny and the wide-mouthed frog. Mm-hmm. But they're all made out of plants.
So these stories will cycle throughout the summer,
That's right. You know, so myself, the volunteers, you know, we'll sit there and we'll tell the story about the runaway bunny. And, you know, where he's going to run away from home and the mother bunny says, well, I'll still follow you. And then I've got 5 small bunnies dotted around the garden, and then as we walk through the garden, there's another page that you open, and there's another scene from the story, and they have to look for the white rabbit.
Oh, that is so fun. We got to go out there and
Is there an age restriction? Will you allow Betsy in the garden?
1 to 101.
Excellent.
Ooh, you just barely squeak by.
I am older, yes. Thanks, Betsy.
And I always encourage people to come through the mouse gate as well, so you have to scrunch down, but once you're through there, you're a kid again.
Do you think I'll have to scrunch down?
Not quite sure.
So you guys have been doing something like that for years now, or is this something new?
This is our 14th summer. And every year I've come up with a different theme. We've had Peter Pan and Captain Hook. We've had Peter Rabbit and Mr. McGregor, The Jungle Book, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Curious George, various things like that. So everything is made out of plants.
What's the kids' response?
Oh, they love it.
You know, absolutely.
The year that we had the pirate ship, they would stand and wait for the cannons to fire and like water mist would come out. And it was fun to see them say, hey, mum, come over here. Stand there. All right?
Exactly.
And then when we did the Jungle Book, I had an elephant with a hose going up its leg and out its trunk. And then again, the kids would say, hey, Dad, stand right there. Wait, 5, 4, 3, 2.
We had a plumber on the show months ago who explained a very similar situation with bidets in children's homes where they would bring their friends in, stand right here. Just a second. Let me show you something.
Uh-huh.
What else is going on at the gardens that we could find out? I mean, that's so fun. I know there's so many things. Give us one other thing that's we need to get out there and see.
We do have construction at the gardens, but there's always something going on at the gardens. You know, there's plenty of flowers, plenty of plant life, things to do. We have our concert series, which is starting at the end of May. And we've got like 30 different gigs going on throughout the summer.
Wow.
There's going to be events held out at the farm as well through the summertime. In previous years, we've had the Herb Society comes out and does demonstrations with herbs. We have the tomato exhibit comes on at the end of the summer. There are farm days as well where we represent the 1930s and in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And kids can come out and, you know, taste some of the vegetables out there. They can play old games that Fred and Lena played when they were kids out in the farm.
Oh, that's
and a few. There's a few other surprises, I think, in store.
So there's something for everyone is what you're telling us. It
Definitely.
Doesn't matter your age. There's something. Is there like a calendar and times listed online that people can go and see, like when you're doing your story reading and things like that?
Yeah, if you go to meyergardens.org,
okay.
That's our main website,
mm-hmm.
and then just follow through there, and that'll tell you through the calendar of events and things to do and see. And each area of the garden also, I think, is split up so you can see what's happening in the sculpture park, what's happening out front, what's happening in the amphitheater. And, there's a lot going on. It's a busy, busy place. And we found out recently that we are like the top 20 museum to visit in America. So we're not only a garden, mm-hmm. we have a sculpture park. We've got a fantastic collection of sculptures and by world famous sculptors and artists. So, you know, if you're into art mm-hmm. and sculpture, come out and visit us for that. We've got permanent collections and we have a moving collection as well. So things change from time to time.
Well, I can't tell you how excited I am about all of this because, A, the weather has really, really, really
yes.
blown for a while. It's finally starting to come around.
Oh, yeah. Thank goodness.
All I want to do is get outside and uh-huh. do something fun. And we've got this right in our backyard, basically.
Yeah.
And I've not nearly been there enough. I don't know that my kids have been there at all. So we're going to make plans this summer to get out there.
Mm-hmm.
Ian, I can't thank you enough for taking time to
Very
come
welcome.
Out and hang out with us.
Yep.
I feel smarter. I wish I could do the accent. But I can't.
You also wish you could grow plants, but that isn't going
to
happen.
I wish I had to bend down to get through the mouse gate, but that's not going to happen
But you don't.
So, Ian, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thanks.
Now, don't go too far, because coming up after the break, we're going to tell you about a project we did not so very long ago that taught us how to be flexible and just roll with the punches. Stay tuned.
If you want to take your DIY skills up a rung, the Repco Light Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, Betsy, not too long ago, you pointed me in the direction of a Netflix show.
Mm-hmm.
Find it, fix it,
vlog it.
Flog it. It's a mm-hmm. British show.
Yes.
And it's basically these two guys who go around and they find, you know, people who've got all kinds of stuff
mm-hmm.
that
yes.
they've collected.
Yes.
They each choose two items
mm-hmm.
and then they refinish them or
yes,
bring them
or
back to,
it.
Yeah, repurpose them or whatever,
yep.
and then basically sell them and then
right.
give the money back to the people who had the junk
yes.
sitting in their home. Basically, it's taking junk that you had
mm-hmm.
and turning it into money that you can use to buy more junk to put
yes.
in your stuff.
That
in
show
your
makes me want to move to the UK so I can get stuff like that.
It is cool. It's a cool show.
And it is.
It's a concept that makes us all excited. Because I had the kids watching that with me
mm-hmm.
a couple of nights ago. And right as one of the segment ends,
yeah.
they turned around and said to me, let's do that.
Yeah.
Let's just find stuff and sell it and make money.
Right.
It's enticing. It's
mm-hmm.
exciting. Because
yeah.
you see something that was garbage and all of a sudden you see it with brand new life. We all want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I did do that.
We did do that. We took this concept because it's always been intriguing to me. So why not try it? We hear about it. It can't be that hard, right? So we went on our shopping mission to find something, anything that we could do this to. We had mm-hmm. no plan. We didn't know what we were going to find. And after much exhaustive searching, we finally, in some secondhand store in the back corner, found this desk that was falling apart, which was way more than we wanted to pay, but we just wanted something to do. So,
right.
so we picked it.
We snatched that up with the intention of turning something dilapidated into something amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we saw the desk, I remember standing there in the store saying, okay, what we can do is strip all the paint off.
Right.
We'll get it down to whatever original wood, which I'm sure was amazing wood.
Right.
And we'll stain it, varnish it, and it'll look like this amazingly restored furniture piece.
Right.
That was the intent.
Yes.
So we snatched it up, put it in your little car, drove it back to Repcolite, and then dragged it out into the store and showed everybody what we bought.
And they all laughed.
What a mistake, because this was the very first time that we actually looked at this piece in full-on daylight.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of hidden in a dark corner in the store where we bought it. Now that we saw it in full daylight, we realized there was a fair number of things wrong with this.
Yes.
And that's the whole point of what we're going to talk about in this segment, is we're going to talk about our project, but we're going to point out all the mistakes that we made for a couple reasons.
Yes.
First off, everybody's going to make these mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when you run into them, don't freak out. Don't feel like you're alone in this.
Right.
Everybody who tries one of these projects is going to run into snags.
Right.
We did. The people on television do.
Mm-hmm.
It just usually ends up on the cutting room floor.
Right.
We're going to expose all of that.
Yeah.
But we're also going to talk about it because we learned a lot of lessons from it that you can apply, and maybe you can skip around the mistakes.
Right.
So the first lesson is look at the thing before you buy it and look it over really well, even if that means you've got to get on the floor and look at it from all sides. And I mean that because if we had done that, one of the things that we would have noticed is that the legs had rotted away in a lot of areas. There were huge chunks of the leg missing that somehow now we had to patch, which meant that our whole idea of staining it, that was out the window.
Yeah,
the drawers were falling apart. We pulled a drawer open to show somebody at the store. I remember that, and six pieces fall to the ground and the chorus of laughter.
Right.
Erupted.
Yes.
Look it over in the daylight.
Right. Check out veneers. Check for pieces that are real wood. That's a really big key to all of this. You don't want something that is covered in whatever else and it's just particle
board. Just a paper veneer or a plastic, you know, the contact paper, basically.
Right.
And that sounds dumb, but we've had people in the store. It's very heartbreaking when they bring in a piece that they've found thinking that they've got something that they can refinish and it's actually just that. Make sure it's real wood. Make sure it's in decent shape, or if it's got something wrong with it, make sure it's something you can fix. You just want to be aware of it. So take your time and look it over before you even purchase it. Obvious first step, but we missed it. And we know other people do too.
Mm-hmm. Well, and now we were stuck with a piece that had these problems with it. So now what?
We're not going to look stupid.
Our first plan clearly isn't going to work.
Yeah, we don't want to look stupid and just say, well, that was a waste of money. No, we're going to plow through and somehow redeem ourselves.
Right. So that is lesson number two. Be flexible and just roll with the punches. Sure, plan A wasn't going to work for us, so we went to plan B, which was at least paint the bottom part of it, and
hopefully
when we strip away all that paint on the top, hopefully there's a really good wood top underneath that. A lot of people had their doubts when they were looking at this with me, but...
Oh, yeah, we were made fun of quite severely.
Mercilessly.
But like Betsy's saying, the thing to pull away from this is to be flexible, but also, even when you say it that way, when you say plan A was this, plan B was this, we're going to go with this compromise, the conception of that is that plan A was the ideal, plan B is, I guess, we'll make this work if we have to.
Yep.
The thing is that we want you to remember is that plan B in a project like this can actually turn out way superior to plan A. And that was our situation.
Uh-huh.
Plan B turned out 10 times better than if we had had it all go right the first time and we had just stained it like I had intended. So don't give up thinking that you've lost the ideal by making this compromise. You actually might be moving forward and coming up with a better project in the end.
Right. And so because plan B was to make sure that that top was open and we could see if we could possibly stain it, we decided to strip the entire piece. Now, a lot of people were suggesting sanding to us. Why don't you just sand it? The problem with that is we knew that we wanted a darker stain on that top. And when you do that, you can end up with orbital sanding marks and you don't want that to show through. So stripping was A, better for us, and B, I just wanted to hurry up and see what was under that paint on the top to see if we could do this. So gloves, chip brushes, make sure you have drop cloths or old cardboard, things like that underneath the piece if you're going to strip it. But it really takes no time at all to do that.
Well, and it actually was fun. Stripping has this idea behind it, this connotation of such a horrible project. And it can be if you're stuck in your basement, you know, and all of that. Fumes can be terrible.
Mm.
We're talking about make sure you've got a good place and all of that. we did it outside.
Yeah.
And it was actually fun.
It was.
The weather was decent when we were doing it. It was actually...
It's fun to see that
fun
paint
work.
Crawl.
Fun watching it, yeah, shrivel up, yep. melt off. Fun seeing what was underneath.
Right.
Once we had it all off, we did do a light sanding on that tabletop, but it was by hand and in the direction of the grain so that we didn't have those sanding marks later.
Right.
But, yeah, we worked our way through it, and it turned out... actually pretty well.
Yeah. You're listening to the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, and we're talking about a desk project that we had not too terribly long ago, and we're giving you some of the lessons we learned from doing it. Now, we talked about how we found the piece and what we did to it. Now, we found that obviously the top was in really good shape.
We were so happy to see that beautiful wood
yes.
underneath all that paint.
Right. But now came the real work, because we had drawers that had to be fixed, and we had legs that needed some major repair. Pair of work done.
Right. So there was this element of excitement because we could see the tabletop looked very nice.
Right.
But like Betsy's saying, we're looking at all these other pieces, the legs that need work, the drawers that fall apart,
mm-hmm.
and that second wave of frustration kind of swept in. Like, now what? How do we still make this work?
Right.
But the thing is, we dug in, and there's a solution for every problem. And that's the third lesson that we learned. Don't give up. A lot of people bail in projects at times like this. And you see furniture in various states of being refinished all over the place.
Yep.
Go to garage sales and find. It got partway, and they quit.
Yep.
They quit because they didn't realize, in this instance, there's a fix for everything. Like the legs that had this huge rotted chunks out of them. We got an epoxy wood filler from Repcolite, puttied that into the holes. We wrapped cardboard around it to kind of hold the shape.
Yep.
Did some sculpting with a putty knife, let it dry. It dries very fast because it's an epoxy wood putty that we're working with.
Yep.
And we were able to sand it. It's incredibly tough.
Yeah.
Held up just fine. With the drawers, they were dovetailed.
Yeah.
So the joints could be loosened up. We opened them up, took the bottoms that were all broken apart out, put new wood in, and I think in the course of an hour, I had those drawers working again, the joints glued back up, and they look perfect.
Yeah, so don't give up when you run into issues like this. Plow through it or find someone to help you. You know, come into any Repcolite or Port City Paints. We actually have a lot of people who know more about things other than just paint. We have a lot of extra knowledge floating around in our heads.
We do this stuff in our own home.
We do all the time. Yep.
And we can help you with whatever you're working on. So stop in and ask. There are thousands of products out there that might surprise you. You might not even be aware that they exist. Tell us what you're working on. We might be able to point you in a certain direction and help you get through it.
Yeah. Now, once we had everything fixed, it was time to paint it and stain it, which we did. And then we stood back and looked at it and thought, oh, there's just a little something missing. Now, we knew we wanted to keep the original hardware because it was really cool hardware. But the gold that it was kind of tarnished, looked bad. So we got out some, I think it was copper paint.
Copper metallic spray paint.
Yeah, sprayed those up and they looked fantastic. But when you opened the drawers, you could still see
the new
wood.
Versus the old wood.
Yes.
We didn't like that.
No. So, of course, me, who likes to tell everyone to put wallpaper in their drawers and things like that, I got out some old wallpaper that we had hanging around. Goes perfectly with everything else in the desk, pulls in all the colors, and it looks fantastic.
Yeah, completely changed the look of it.
Mm-hmm.
So the final lesson that we wanted to talk about in regards to this project is to always add those final creative touches.
Right. Now, in the end, we ended up with something that looked amazing. Yes, it wasn't what we expected in the beginning.
It was better than what we expected
in the beginning. I think so. You can see pictures of it online at repcolite.com. We have blog posts about it, and it's also going to be in our show notes. We'll put some pictures there. And we want to see what you're working on, so make sure you're sharing that with us.
Absolutely. We want to see what you're working on, and you can post that on our Facebook page. And remember that all of our past episodes can be found online at repcolite.com. Check it out.
And make sure you're asking us your questions so you can get $50 like Susan Stick did.
Well, whatever you decide to do today, make sure that you get out there and make paint a part of it, because the day is always better when paint's involved. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Remember, if you're about to lose your DIY sanity, we can help you fix that crazy.
And we'll help you with whatever paint project you're working on. And better yet, if you come to the 17th Street store and ask for Peter, he'll do all of that in whatever accent you want to hear.
Oh, he has a plethora of them.
He will not shut up. Thanks for listening.